I'm going to deal with something I hope finally and forevermore. You may remember the mouse in my studio that I called Abby Normal. Okay. I have had messages, emails, endless computer messages coming through the wormhole, and all of them seeing what ain't there. This is just, we live in an impossible time when if I offer you a ghost photograph or a UFO photograph, half of you will scream with some justification, oh, it's blurry. Well, you know, if you're in the presence of a ghost or a UFO or whatever, generally you're not in your normal senses, so you're moving around a little bit, right? And the other, now let's go to the exact opposite side. I never did get a picture of Abby Normal, but people keep thinking I did. It's driving me nuts. Here is Tina, who says, Art, I just listened to the True Haunting show and took a look at the photograph that you took trying to catch Abby. I zoomed the photo 400% on my laptop, and there she is, hiding in the wires toward the back of the device you said you saw her on. Tina and everybody, that is not a mouse. That is what's called a ferrite. Abby had long since split. Now, to take the mystery out of it, I have just taken a picture of the ferrite as it exists behind the equipment, immediately behind. A ferrite is a device used to block RF radio frequency signals from audio wires. That's what it is. Now, when you get to 400% above zooming, I suppose it looks like anything you want it to look like eventually. But I put that up on Facebook so you can take a look. It is a very clear picture of a ferrite. Please stop telling me that's a mouse. All right. A police body camera recorded the father of a 6-year-old autistic boy, autistic, with his hands up, posing no threat as police fired into the car, severely wounding the motorist, killing the son. I don't know how many bullets he caught, probably about 5. Horrible, horrible. And I don't know what else you can say about that. They're out on $1 million bond, or no, they're not out. I guess the bond was set at $1 million for each one of these cops. Looks like SeaWorld's going to end the orca shows. If you want to see the orcas in San Diego doing their thing, you better get it done, because the killer whale act is going away. Now, they will continue to display them, but in their natural, I don't know how you could say natural environment, because a big tank, no matter how big the tank is not a natural environment, but closer. Do you have a pot belly? Everybody with a pot belly, hold up your hand. Can be a bad thing. Even if you are not considered to be overweight, new research suggests normal weight people who carry their fat at their waistlines may be at a higher risk of death over the years than overweight or obese people whose fat is, well, all over the place, you know, on their hips and their thighs, right? So if you have a pot belly, prepare for the possibility of keeling over sooner. Now, one more item. Experts have been squashing the idea of the Kepler Space Telescope that it has discovered an alien megastructure near the star about 1,480 light-years from Earth almost as soon as the original story raising the possibility appeared a few weeks ago. Just because you don't understand what you're looking at doesn't mean it's aliens, chimed in ever so reasonable Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah, that's right. I talked to Neil. Pointing radio telescopes at it has brought nothing. Now, I didn't expect it to bring anything. The chances of hearing an RF signal almost 1,500 light-years away are slim and zero. I mean, I talked to Seth about that. So the fact that they have not heard anything pointing at that star does not mean, does not in any way take away from the interesting possibility that that is an alien megastructure. Not at all, in my opinion. So, there you have it. But they didn't hear anything. No, hello Earth, are you there? That would have been said almost 1,500 years ago for us to hear it now. Pretty unlikely, I would say. All right, coming up, a retired New York PD sergeant. His name is Ralph Sarchi. Worked out of the 46th Precinct in New York South Bronx. That's got to be a rough one. However, in his other job that he calls the work, CIA, right? No. Investigating cases of demonic possession and assisting in the exorcisms of humanity's most ancient and most dangerous foes. Tonight, he will discuss his investigations into an inhuman evil that has never been explained, solved, or even understood. He has been schooled in the rituals of exorcism and is an eyewitness to the reality of the demonic. Sarchi hosts, in fact, the new Destination America series, The Demon Files, which premiered November 1st. So, coming up in a few moments is Sergeant Sarchi. And actually, I'm going to ask him a completely unrelated question first. And I'll let him think about it during this break. And that is, since he was a sergeant, he was a cop, why are people shooting each other? Cops shooting people, people shooting cops. Here we go. Prepare yourself. This should be pretty interesting. And I would like to welcome you, Sergeant Sarchi, Ralph Sarchi, to Midnight in the Desert, which is the name of my new show here.
Well, thank you, Art. I really appreciate it. And please call me Ralph. I've been retired for 11 years now.
Okay, Ralph. But I bet you still watch TV sometimes, huh?
I do, occasionally.
All right. Well, you heard what I said before the break, and I really am starting to wonder about this now. In the old days, and I say that as in when you and I were working last jobs we had, I guess this kind of thing did occur occasionally, but boy, there's been an awful lot of cop shoots person or person shoots cop, you know, without apparent motive. I wonder if you have any thoughts on it.
Well, it's a good question, and I don't believe there's a simple answer to that, and I don't believe, there is a single factor. I think there's a lot of things attributing to it, things that we don't see. I look at the total breakdown of society as far as, any kind of spirituality is concerned, and I see God being pushed out of society more and more.
Yeah, it actually goes right into our topic, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much it does. Everything leads back to those roads, as far as I'm concerned. You know, that's the way I view the world.
When did you and I last interview, Ralph?
It was October of 2001.
Holy mackerel. Okay, back then I asked you about Father Malachi, and you and I share a trait. We both were friends with Father Martin, and I asked you about his death then. Boy, there has been so much speculation and talk about Father Martin's death. Do you have any further thoughts on it, or do you think as you thought then?
Well, I'm staying with the same way that I thought back, then. I'm not going to attribute his death to the devil, but the way I look at it is this. And just say for argument's sake, God did allow that to happen. The way I look at it is Father Martin was killed because of his faith, his beliefs. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's the case, then us Catholics believe that he was martyred. He died because of his love and service for God, so he's considered a martyr. And that would probably be the ultimate reward for a man like Father Martin, the way I look at it.
Do Christians, when martyred, enjoy some benefit that, you know, Muslims do when martyred, or similar benefit?
Well, I don't believe that, you know, we have any kind of sexually orientated rewards end of time. It's more along the lines, I believe that there are levels in heaven, like there are levels in hell. And it is believed that the first level, the closest level to the beatific face of God, is reserved for the holy martyrs of the church triumphant.
Mm-hmm.
The next level would be reserved for the people that have lived their whole entire lives, you know, in a chaste manner.
Mm.
The second level is out for me, but I could still obtain the first level, you know,
Define that one again, please. Level one.
I'm sorry?
Define that one again, please. I'm trying to figure out where I fit in here, too.
The closest level?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would be if you were in the service of God, and you were murdered because of that reason, because of your faith, because of your spirituality.
Really?
Yeah, so, you know, and the...
Can we go through some more levels? Because I'm not in there yet.
Those are the only two levels that I know of.
Oh.
I don't know of any other levels. You know, I'm still on the journey myself, and I'm still learning. And my mentor is gone, so I don't have a way of cheating anymore and making a phone call and getting my answers.
Mm-hmm.
So now it takes me a lot longer because I need to pray on it. And, you know, if I specifically look into certain areas, you know, I will pray on it, and I will pray for the answer. And most of the time I get some kind of an answer. I'll be led to something, you know, and that's the way I live my life.
Is that the way you did your job as a cop?
No. That was the total opposite of the spectrum. You know, I worked in the 4-6 precinct, and I also worked in East New York, Brooklyn, which was what we called a police service area number 2. It was the New York City Housing Police at the time. And I spent 10 years in East New York, Brooklyn, and it was just as violent and just as bad as the Bronx is.
Wow.
And, you know, unfortunately, I had to do things sometimes that wasn't nice.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't take pleasure in it.
I completely understand. I did a lot of ride-alongs. I was a police dispatcher in Monterey, California. So all my friends were cops. All my other friends stopped being my friends. And
yeah.
So I know of what you speak, and I don't know. You know, if you had the right intentions, no matter what you had to do, probably you'll make the level you want.
Well, that's exactly the intention, the intent. I seem to be speaking a lot about that lately. That means a whole lot, is our intentions, you know, and you might be able to fool other people with your intentions, but there are really three people that you can't fool. You can't fool yourself, you can't fool the devil, and you can't fool God.
Uh-huh. That would make sense to me. Did you begin to get into all of this, though, through your work as a cop? In other words, did you began to see certainly bad people doing bad things, and then I suppose you began to see some things that were so bad that they had to border on the demonic. Did that happen?
Well, you know, most people go off of the movie. You know, when they try to figure out how the heck I landed where I landed in life. And, you know, when I was a kid, I was very spiritual. I was an altar boy. I knew who God was, and I knew who the devil was. I just knew that they both existed. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I just knew it. As I started getting older, I didn't worry about God anymore. I found girls and I was playing baseball and, you know, I was living life and I didn't go to church. I didn't think about God, not often. And then when I went into the police department, I started to see these things and, you know, I started to react to things in a manner that I shouldn't have, especially after I got shot.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of changed my outlook on things, and I started to get a little more brutal.
How did you get shot?
Well, I was off duty, and I saw some guy running from a location. I live right across the street from stores, you know, and I knew all the merchants in the neighborhood, and there was a family of people from Pakistan who opened up a store, and the people in the neighborhood were always messing with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw somebody running across the street, and he was dropping objects. And when I called out to him and told him, hey, you dropped something, he ignored me. And he kept running, so I knew something was wrong. I chased him, and I caught him, and he appeared to give up. And I took my eyes off of him. And I had my gun in a shoulder holster, and when I was putting the strap on the holster, I took my hand off the weapon, and he grabbed it.
Oh God!
And you know, I immediately charged him, and I knocked him over there was a little chain to keep people off the grass, and I knocked him over that, and he fell down. And when I went to jump on top of him, he fired one shot. And it just so happened that it went between the trunk of my body and my right arm, and it just grazed my arm. The second shot went into the ground, and they taught us in the academy to, if somebody grabs your weapon, is to grab the cylinder and the hammer and just hold it, and the gun cannot fire. It was
That's
a revolver
right.
at the time.
Sure.
And I still have the scar because I grabbed that weapon so hard that hammer went right into the palm of my hand.
Wow.
I didn't feel it, of course, at the time. I was, you know, worried about not getting shot. So the only senses that I really had were my sight. I don't remember hearing anything. I don't remember feeling anything. All I remember doing is seeing.
Yeah. I wonder what they teach cops now with semi-automatics and 15-round clips.
Well, you know, if you grab the slide, they're going to get one round out of it, and then the weapon's going to jam. But
good point.
You're going to burn your hands on the gases that are escaping from that round.
Yeah,
and you might not be able to hold on to it at that point. You know, if you actually do feel it. Like I said, you sort of lose a lot of different senses, and you know, certain senses only come into play, you know, during a life and death struggle.
Okay, well, here's two things we could look at, Ralph, and I'd love your opinion about which is true, and that is that when you and I were young, there wasn't much senseless killing, either by the police of people or people of the police. There just wasn't much, you know, people didn't walk up to a cop and assassinate him. It just was so rare as to not happen. I guess we had the Black Panthers, stuff like that, but nothing like we've got today. So you could either say, look, there's just more coverage of it. We've got these 24-hour networks, so we see this stuff, or something has changed in society.
Well, just for the record, Art, I'm still young, so that's the way I look at it. But I'm just kidding. I'm joking. But, no, things have definitely changed, without a doubt, from the time that I was a kid to the time that I was a cop and to the times that we're living in now. And we're only talking about, the way I look at it, is about a four-year span before everything just rapidly went right downhill.
Mm-hmm. Well, I recall talking to Father Martin all those years ago now, Ralph, and he was saying that there was hundreds of percent of increase in demonic activity in New York, particularly, because that was his area, and that it was on the increase. and perhaps it's been increasing ever since he made that statement. I'm sure he told you the same thing.
Well, yeah, of course. You know, I've seen it, and it goes back to what I said earlier. The more you push God out of society, and there is no denying that that's happening, there's something else that's got to fill that void. And the only thing that's going to fill that void is the devil. And the more you push God out, the more he steps in. And this isn't something that I haven't been expecting. It isn't something that Father Martin didn't speak about and warn me about, warn everybody about. He's been warning us since, you know, he first appeared on your show.
Yes. All right. Well, here's something that I'd like to throw in, it because I think it's important. Ralph, I spent a lot of years in my life in Asia, and I particularly spent a lot of years now, most recently, in the Philippines. The Philippines is virtually, I think, 90% at least Catholic, something like that. And when I say Catholic, I mean the Filipinos are really Catholic. By anybody's standards, they're really Catholic. In fact, at Christmas time, Ralph, they start by putting the decorations on all official city stuff. They, in fact, they hang decorations on stoplights. It's all over the city. It's just decorated everywhere. You know, they're a very, very religious society. And what they don't have is people killing cops. They don't have serial killers. They don't have these seemingly inexplicable crimes, murders. They just don't have them compared to the U.S. And so there's your difference, Ralph.
Yes. It's a proven fact. There are a lot of things that in this world that I believe are proven facts, but they're ignored because they don't fit with what needs to be done to bring about certain events. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You know, the event of ushering in the one world religion and the new world order, which is a stepping stone to the Antichrist, and everything that I see going on from religion to politics.
You said one world religion. What do you mean?
Well, you heard Father Martin speak about the Luciferian wanting a one-world religion where, you know, it's basically the state that's telling you what you can worship and how you can worship, and it's not going to be the God that I worship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you think that one-world religion could be the devil?
Well, yeah, I would lean towards that because it's opposite of what Jesus Christ has instituted on this earth for us as his children.
Right. Well, he's got a long way to go to catch up to the Catholic Church, unless you think the church might be hostage to the devil. And we'll pick up on that in a moment. We're at a break, Sergeant. Hold on. Sorry, Ralph. Hold on. This is going to be an interesting interview. I suggest you prepare yourself.
Dark Matter Network News. This is Amy Martin. A gunman in Jordan has killed at least 5 people, including 2 Americans, at a police training site on Monday. According to the Associated Press, 2 of those who were killed are alleged to be government employees. While details remain unclear, U.S. officials are still working to determine what happened and how many were killed. President Obama said that the attacker was wearing a military uniform and killed 2 or 3 Americans, although the State Department puts the figure at 2. The U.S. Embassy in Amman said 2 Americans injured in the attack were also U.S. government workers. All were part of a State Department police training program, said a U.S. official who wasn't authorized to speak publicly on the matter and demanded anonymity. Condemning the incident, the U.S. Embassy said that it was premature to speculate on motive. Arizona lawmakers, who had hoped to build miles of fencing along the border with Mexico using millions of dollars in private donations, are instead directing the money to buy equipment for a border sheriff's office after the state received just a fraction of the donations needed. The decision Monday by the legislature's Border Security Advisory Committee came without a mention of the original intent of the donations to build a fence along the border. Republican backers of the 2011 legislation hoped for as much as $50 million in private money for the project, which called for building 15-foot fences at busy border crossing points, then erecting other fences along miles of the state's nearly 200-mile border that had no federal fences. Instead, the state only received about $265,000. Over the weekend, a number of listeners wrote in to let us know about an event that had happened on Saturday, witnessed by thousands in the southwestern skies, which coincided with a torrid meteor shower. Only this time, it wasn't a meteor, fooling at least one local astronomer in the Phoenix area. The massive blue light seen streaking across the night sky on Saturday has been claimed by the U.S. Navy. The reported culprit? An unarmed Trident II D-5 test missile fired off the coast of Malibu. According to the L.A. Times, John Daniels, a public affairs officer for the Navy's strategic systems programs, the tests Saturday and others scheduled are classified and thus not announced in advance. Although notice was given to aviation officials and sailors in the area, it did not detail the exact time or location of the launch. The U.S. Navy is said to have launched a second and final test missile Monday afternoon during daylight hours. Daniels also told the L.A. Times, "It's important that we test these missiles for our national security. We don't announce future launches, but this is it for any time soon." According to a military analyst, the Trident II missile is said to be a key piece in the U.S.'s ability to deter a nuclear attack. This has been Amy Martin for Dark Matter Network News.
It's always midnight when we're on the air somewhere. Hi, everybody. I'm Art Bell. My guest is Ralph Sarchi, a retired New York PD sergeant, worked out at the 46th Precinct in New York's South Bronx, and more. But he's not here talking about police work, except as I have sort of asked that he do. Joe wormholes me the following. Hello, Art. Would you like to comment on the alleged missile test, as claimed by the Navy, seen this past Saturday all over California and other states? Smells like a big cover-up from what you can see on the videos posted all over YouTube. Well, Joe, I think it was exactly what they said. There was a notice to airmen that went out before the test. They didn't make it public because it was classified. It was a Trident. In other words, it was a missile launched from a submarine. And, Joe, just so you know, I think it was intended to be seen, not so much by everybody here on the West Coast who thought, oh, cool, look at that, as much as it was meant to be seen by Russia, by Putin. I hope you got lots of pictures of that. You know, they're really acting out an awful lot in Russia right now, and they're beginning to act like the old Soviet Union as much as they are our new buddies, Russia. So I think that Trident launch, and there was another one, by the way, earlier yesterday as well. So I think we're launching these as sort of a, okay, take a look-see, this is what we don't want. Anyway, Ralph, welcome back, and, I made a crack going into that break about the church being hostage to the devil. And, of course, that's a title of one of Malachi's books. But, I've got to ask you, do you share the view with Malachi that the church had an increasing influence, a demonic influence? And I have no idea how far it's gone by now. Since that time, we went through a terrible period with the church. You know, with priests and molestations and all the rest of it. So, what's your view?
Well, there isn't very much that I don't agree with Father Martin on, and I agree with him because he's presented his case very well to me, you know, and the rest of the world as far as I'm concerned. And, we do know that the smoke of Satan has entered the cracks of the church. But even still, Jesus tells us, even through Scripture, that the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. So, I live life in all optimism, I try to at least, you know, and, you know, I see what's happening, and it's not a surprise to me. The only surprise to me is that it's happening sooner than I can have ever imagined.
I've got to agree with that. I think it's happening sooner, too.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for it, to tell you the truth.
Right, I wasn't either. I've been very shocked at behavior changes in America, I guess maybe in the world, but in America, too. You know, if you look around the world, of course, we've got the guys dressed in black, cutting off heads and that sort of thing. But right here at home. Okay, so do you think, Ralph, that possessions are still increasing in number? I guess that's a silly question, huh?
Well, yes, I would have to say so. At least the infestations and the oppressions are on the rise, and we have an increase in the occult. People, they're more interested in the occult. With the technology, the internet, we have more information at our fingertips now, and I think people, they seem to have more information these days, but they seem to be getting dumber, you know.
All right.
That's the way I see it. People are going into areas that they shouldn't even be thinking about.
I know.
Which is not a smart move. They're opening up these doors, and some really nasty stuff is coming through.
All right. As a guy who was a cop, I'm going to ask you a really, really tough question. And that is, if people are, in fact, possessed by a demon or possessed by the devil, shouldn't that be a legal defense in court? Yeah, I bet.
Well, you know, I don't really believe that the court is going to believe in demonic possession, so good luck with trying to get around that one. Anything is possible. I don't really see the devil exposing himself.
All right. Let me make it harder on you.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Let's make it harder on you. Let's assume there's been a terrible murder committed,
okay,
and that you were an investigator in that murder. And the guy who commits a murder claims he's innocent by virtue of possession. And you actually think that he was possessed, because you do believe in possession. So let's assume that you had a chance to actually meet this guy, and you figured out that, yes, he does appear to be possessed. And so now we're at trial, and you're sitting in the witness seat, and the defense attorney is asking you, Sergeant, you do believe that possession is possible, right? Has to be a yes answer. Do you believe that so-and-so sitting right over there is possessed? That'd be a tough moment for you, wouldn't it?
No, I would tell him the truth. I would tell him what I felt. And if I felt that the man was possessed, I would tell him yes, and then I would tell him why.
And then the DA would take you away and have a really stern talk with you.
Well, it's possible, but I doubt it, because if I come up with fact, and I can come up with other cases that are similar to it.
Okay.
You know,
all right. Actually, that's a very interesting statement. If you come up with fact, all right, in any case that you can ever consider that you have been involved in, what are the facts that determine possession?
Well, we have signs that were given from the Roman ritual, which is the prayer book that the priest, the exorcist, will utilize. And we look for certain signs, like abnormal strength, knowing information that they couldn't possibly know, speaking in a language or a voice, you know, that is not of the person.
Right.
Meaning they would speak a language that they have no way of knowing. And a very strong aversion to anything holy, like Jesus or the Blessed Mother. But in these days, that that alone, couldn't be used because it's such an aversion to Jesus and his mother by people that aren't, in fact, possessed. They might be influenced, but they're not possessed. Huh. They just don't like Jesus.
But speaking in, Aramaic or something might be a pretty big sign.
Well, I'll give you an example, because Father Martin was involved in this, and it is going to be spoken about in the documentary coming out about him. There was a young child that he was dealing with. This child was about 4 years old when Father Martin first became involved in her case. And we were discussing it one day. I was asking him why God would allow children,
yes,
to become possessed. And Father Martin said it would be a chastisement towards the parents for not teaching the children about God. And he said to me that you're going to see an uprise in child possession in the future. He says, and I need you to look out for that, specifically look for that. And then it was about another 4 years later, Father Martin had already passed. I got involved in this child's exorcism. I assisted Bishop McKenna and Father Rahmer in the exorcism. And we were basically looking to get proof for the archdiocese of where this girl came from.
Mm-hmm.
So the archdiocese can work with her because she came from another state.
Right.
During the exorcism, this 8-year-old little child spoke fluent Latin,
wow,
and also responded to questions in Latin that she couldn't have possibly known.
Holy mackerel!
Now, I could produce eight children that are 8 year old that can speak in Latin, write it, and they can understand it. But they've been trained in it since first grade. This child had no formal training in Latin whatsoever. She was Novus Ordo. She was a mainstream Catholic church.
Okay.
In the traditional Catholic church, the children, the mass is in Latin. So the children that attend the school, they know the responses in Latin from a young age because they're taught. So that would be one of the signs that we would be looking for. There's really no way that this 8-year-old can actually speak fluent Latin in that manner.
How did that case resolve?
Well, once it was actually passed on to the archdiocese of where this girl lived, I lost track of the case. It wasn't mine.
Okay.
I was asked to assist at it. That's it. A lot of times I get a phone call and say, be at such a location. You're assisting at, we need you to assist. And I would ask, how many do we need? And they'd tell me how many people they wanted, and I'd get them and we'd go.
The way you said what you said sort of tipped me off that, maybe Father Martin was preparing you for a time when he thought he might be gone. Do you think that could be?
Well, Father Martin said a lot of things to me that didn't make sense to me at the time, and they're making sense now.
Mm.
So, Father Martin dealt with a lot of people, and, I'm sure that each person that he spoke to, there was something that was needed to be done, and he would have certain insights to those things, but he never really gave too much information on it. Well,
I say this because it sounds like he was preparing you to continue some aspect of his work, Ralph. Frankly, it does sound that way.
I don't know. I think then we're all in trouble because, if that's the case, then we're at the bottom of the barrel. It is the end times. And, I would suggest, get a relationship with God. Don't rely on anybody else but God.
Do you think, by the way, you brought it up, so is it possible that things have gone so far out of kilter that we are knocking on the door of the end times here?
Well, you know, I become pretty good friends with some of Father Martin's friends that I've become acquainted with because of the documentary. And one of the things that I was taught, a lot of puzzle pieces are being filled, by the way.
Right.
You know, right now for me with the people that I'm meeting and I've become friends with.
This is the British documentary you're referring to, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to be in that as well.
The Irish.
So.
I know that, and I spoke to Marty Stalker, and actually the day before he was coming out to interview you, I had called him, and I says, hey, you need to find Art Bell and speak mm-hmm. to him, and he says, we're interviewing him tomorrow. So, you know, I know Marty did his homework.
He did his homework. Trust me, he did it.
Yes.
His questions definitely proved that. Anyway, again, could it be where we are closing in on the end times? I mean, as you look around the world, not just the U.S., but the world, there's just plain evil out there. I mean, you look at these ISIS people, the ones that might have just brought down this airliner, and the very center of their ideology, the very center of what they want, Ralph, is the end times.
Well, they want to dominate the world. We know that. And, you know, we know that human nature, we're designed to be free. We're not designed to be plebs or told what to do, told what to think, told what to feel, told what to eat, told how to dress, told when to pray, told
right.
who to pray to.
Correct.
You get the point. That destroys people's humanity. And the only thing that could come out of that is not good. And when I look at the apocalypse according to Saint John, which
yes.
is the book of Revelations.
That's right.
I listen to what the prophecies have made by the doctors and the saints of the church, the great visionaries, the holy people who were privy to certain information that we are not privy to because we're not holy enough. All of these things, they lead to where we're headed. They're at the end of the path. But in the same vein, you know, if everything was written in stone, then I don't believe that Jesus would send his mother down like in the Fatima apparitions, Our Lady of La Salette, mm-hmm. Our Lady of Guadalupe. These. If it was written in stone, then why would he send his mother here to tell us we can change all of that? And if we just did certain things, we would receive special graces where we would avert a lot of the things that we as men and we as human beings are pushing on ourselves. Because it's not God that's doing it. It's us that's doing it, not him.
Well, is it? I mean, if the devil really does get into people and or his representative or a demon or whatever, in fact, we ought to really break that down a little bit. And even before we do that, you said there were, you believed, levels to what we talk about as heaven or the afterlife. And you said you also believe there are levels, you know, down below.
Mm-hmm.
What are those?
Warm,
hot, and fire?
I believe it goes according to the way you've lived your life. Well, you know, you look at heaven and you say, okay, we have these virtues that we're given. Like if you're martyred, if you live a chaste life, you know, I don't, that's about all I know, right now. And I look at the complete opposite. The flip side to the coin would be okay. The levels of hell. What is a serious sin? Murder. You know, the willfully taking of another human's life, an innocent
oh, yes.
person.
Definitely.
I would have to say that. Okay, so if you're martyred for God, and you receive the first level, well, on the flip side of the coin is if you take somebody's life, Well, guess what? You got the front row seat in hell. And I would correlate it that way. You know, and then you look at the second level is chastity. Well, the sins of the flesh would be the next sin on that list. And from what I know from Scripture and what the visionaries have said, the doctors of the church, is that the sins of the flesh are probably what's going to be the most crowded level.
Figures.
Is in that area, because the sins that are connected with, you know, the sins of the flesh, the passions of our Lord Jesus Christ was the scourging of his flesh. And I'm sure that Father Martin spoke to you about the Roman flagrum, you know, how they went about their torturous deeds of scourging
the
human being.
Yes.
Well, you know, get yourself a little twig or a rope and try to hit yourself on the back. See how painful that is.
All right. Ralph, hold on. It's going to be rough stuff, folks. So a little warning to you. If this sort of thing scares you, you might want to tune out. I get these messages from the wormhole as we go along with the guest. And here's a kind of a negative one. Patricia of Oakland says, your guest's understanding of good and evil is that of a child. No, not of a child, of a, I would guess, conservative Catholic, much as Father Malachi Martin was. Not a child's version of good and evil, but I get it. I so totally get it. So we were talking about the two levels of a good and evil, and of evil, taking of life would be at the top of the list. Now, just to clarify for me, Ralph, if, let's suppose that incident with the gun, the guy who shot you, had turned out differently, and you, to protect your own life, I mean, if he'd, you know, you'd somehow got the gun back, and he'd yanked out a knife and he was charging you, and you shot him, that would be, of course, the taking of a life. So does that still get you to the same level, or is there some consideration for self-defense?
Well, yeah, it's an unjustifiable, I said, taking of an innocent life.
Okay,
somebody
good.
Who's charging me is not innocent.
That's right. All right, good. Good to know. And the sins of the flesh part, I don't know, we can get into that, but I know I'm in trouble.
You and me both. There's no saint here. You're not talking with a saint. And yes, I am very childlike. I consider myself a child of God. Jesus tells us that we should approach him like children. So, yeah, you know, I look at myself as a child. I like to feel like I have somebody else in control of things. Because if I'm in control, I know I'm going to mess them up somehow. You know, I always do.
I have history, too.
I just try to go through life as close to God as I can.
What is the difference, if you can define it, between a demonologist and an exorcist?
You know, it's a title. We seem to be getting hung up on titles these days. You know, I would rather not use the title demonologist, but, you know, when I get interviewed, people want to know, well, what is your title? I don't want to be known as a paranormal investigator. I don't want to be known as a ghost hunter. I'm not a demon hunter or a demon slayer. There is no such thing. We don't hunt demons. We're the ones that are hunted. We're the prey here.
Yes.
So once you get that in, you know, into your mind, you know, maybe you'll understand the dynamic or the natural order of, you know, the supernatural and the preternatural, where we fit in that order.
We're the prey and we're the prize, right?
Well, yes. Well, you know what? The devil doesn't look at us as a prize. He despises us. The only reason he comes after us is because of his hatred for God. He doesn't look at us as anything other than a way to get back at him.
Everything's got to be a war, doesn't it?
Unfortunately, but that's what heaven is. No more war.
Boy, do I hope you're right.
Well, according to my beliefs, there is no pain, there is no suffering, there is no anger, there is no anything other than pure love, joy, and happiness in heaven.
I hope that's right.
I crave that. I really do crave that. I crave that for this world. I'm not going to be able to do it, and, you know, the only one that could have done it failed, and he's much more greater than I can ever be. But I can still try to help individuals as much as I can, and that's what I do.
And that is what you do. You certainly believe that possession is real, that a person can be possessed, obviously. We've talked about that now. And we've also talked about the signs of a legitimate possession, as in talking in a language you couldn't possibly know. Another thing that Father Martin talked about that never will leave me for the rest of my life is the perfect possession discussion. Father Martin said he could walk by somebody on the streets of New York, and he could just look at them in the eyes, and he could tell that they were perfectly possessed, that they had made their deal for whatever with the devil, essentially, and whether it was for a woman, a man, a job, fame, fortune, whatever it is they wanted, they made that deal, and there they are walking along the street perfectly possessed, right?
Hmm. Well, you know, I can't do that. That's why I laugh when you say that I'm replacing him, because...
Oh, I didn't say you were replacing him.
Well...
I said that he was preparing you to continue your work.
Uh-huh. I gotcha.
Right? But
you know what? I don't have that ability. You know, he was something different. He was something very special.
Yes.
You know, not many people are called to do things the way he did them.
I'll say.
There was a lot more to him than just exercising demons, you know. And that'll be brought out when this documentary comes out, because there was so many levels and dimensions to that man.
I know people say there is no... Father Martin, another one out there, and they're right about that, because trust me, we've looked and we have never found anybody anything like Father Martin. Not even close.
And you never will.
I know.
You never will.
I now understand that, yes.
But that's the way it works. You know, the more and more we push God out of society, the less and less he gives us. Now you have to really seek it. On your own. And yes, you seek it childlike, yes.
Are there three stages of diabolical activity?
Yes.
What would they be?
The first stage would be the infestation. That's the external phenomenon happening at a location.
Right.
And then the next stage is a two-part stage. It's an oppression and an obsession stage. One is an external attack, one is an internal attack. Huh. The oppression is basically, we consider the oppression being infestation on steroids. Things are completely out of control in the house externally. But at the same time, there's usually a lot of influence, a lot of internalized attacks from the demonic to push people further into sin, further away from God, which leads into the third stage of possession. But there are demonic possession, which is pretty self-explanatory, but there are two other stages that are also involved. The initial stage would be an invitation. There needs to be some form of an invitation.
Really?
In order to bring that demon or allow that demon to enter into our plane of existence and actually manipulate our physical environment.
Okay, well, that would seem to run contrary to what you said earlier about the five-year-old. Remember the five-year-old?
No. You see, it was a four-year-old.
Four-year-old, whatever.
Okay, continue what you're going to say.
What I'm saying is that you suggested to me that it was something done by the parents of that child.
Well, no. We got information about a family member, and I know you're familiar with this because you spoke to Father Martin about it. It was a family member that had created this invitation, which in fact opened that child up to possession. These stages, even though we have these stages, some of them can be skipped, just like the stages of exorcism. You know, we might not get an infestation. We might go right into a possession, or we might go into right into an obsession or an oppression.
Okay.
So we do know that an invitation needs to take place in order for that demon to come into our world and interact with
it. But apparently it doesn't have to be by the innocent who becomes possessed.
No, it does not. It could be invited by somebody else, which is very much the case of a person who buys a home. And the family that lived in that home prior to that might have been practicing Satanist, and they were doing rituals, and they invited a demonic spirit in. They could have been playing with tarot cards. They could have been playing with Ouija boards. You know, there could have been other things, drug use, sexual abuse, domestic violence. All of these things can be draws for the demonic. Is every single is a demonic going to come on the scene every single time these things, are done? No, it's not the case. But there are certain instances where it will happen.
And let's take the case of a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
They really scare me. I had a very bad experience that I never, ever am going to discuss. But... you know, it's just a hunk of cardboard and a little wood thing you move around, and it really is nothing. So here we come back to this word intent. If it is the intent of the person to speak to a spirit, to speak to a dead person, or to speak to, actually, frankly, they don't most times have even a clue who they're going to speak to or who they are speaking to when they use it. So it's the intent of the person using it, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could just as easily, I suppose, sit in a chair and simply wish to speak or to have somebody who has passed on come to them and have a discourse.
That's as simple as it can get. You do the same, we do the same thing when we pray. We sit and we pray and we make a connection.
That's right.
To who we're praying. We can sit in a chair and we can think about a person and make a connection to that person. How many times did you ever think about somebody and within the next two or three days they call you? It's happened to me numerous times.
Many, many.
You actually do make a connection to people. So, thought has form, thought has substance, and prayer is the same exact thing. So when you can pray for something good and you can actually have the intention for something bad.
I do believe, Ralph, that we're connected. I think there's even science that backs it up. This quantum entanglement business would suggest that even particles can become entangled with each other. So why not people? We're far more complicated.
Sure.
So, yes, we can be connected to people, and I suppose we can be connected to people and or spirits on either side.
Well, we pray for the good ones to connect themselves to us. We pray for God to send his saints and his angels to protect us, and there are people from the opposite side of the coin that pray to Satan to send them his angels. And that's what makes the world go round.
Yeah, I guess it is. So what are the indicators of demonic activity? Is it the typical stuff you see in movies with stuff flying off the wall? I talked to a poor lady who spent 6 years with demonic activity, and some horrible things happened. Things flew around, windows broke, knives appeared where they shouldn't be. In fact, where somebody would likely sit down on one of them, terrible things happened, and it went on for 6 full years.
Well, yeah, there's a whole array of things. when you get to the point where things are flying off the wall, we consider that an oppression, the oppression stage, because the infestation stage, like I said, normally it starts as something subtle. It gets your attention, but you're not quite frightened by it. You might be amused by it even, you know, little tapping noises. They may respond to you. The tapping noises may respond to you. You may ask a question and, you know, and all of a sudden the taps are corresponding to what you're saying. And now you become, you've got a whole house that's your personal Ouija board, you know. And as you go along with interacting with this spirit, it sneaks up on you more and more until it actually gets what it wants from you. And that's your permission.
Well, people are weak, right? And at times, people are strong. At other times, people are weak. And it takes but one moment of weakness, huh?
Well, we all have that. Like you say, we're all weak beings for the most part. I know I am. I struggle with a lot of things in this life. You know, but I recognize the struggle, and I keep moving towards that goal of getting closer to God and becoming a better person. You know, like not using the profanity, not getting angry and things like that. But, you know, these are all human traits, and some of those things can be used for good. I know my priests yell at me and say you're trying to turn anger into a virtue. but I don't know of any warrior and that includes the warriors for God who went into battle who were not angry at the person that they were fighting.
That's right.
You can't kill a man unless you're mad at him.
That's right.
So there is an element of anger in pretty much everything. It's the journey of trying to control it and trying to get it under control for one reason. Because God wants us to do it. And it benefits our fellow human being, which is what Jesus tells us to do, is to love God and love one another. And that's all we would really need, Art. We wouldn't hurt each other. And I don't want to see people getting hurt. I don't like suffering.
Can somebody become possessed, Ralph, even if they don't believe?
Yes.
Have you ever seen an example of that?
Pretty much. I would say that most of my cases, the vast majority of my cases, I would hear somewhere along the line, I never believed in this stuff. I don't believe in the devil, Ralph. I don't believe in the devil, Mr. Saatchi, but, you know, I believe in him now. I've heard that countless times. While I'm sitting in a stranger's home listening to what they're telling me, I don't go around knocking on people's doors and saying, hey, you got a demon in there. Let me in. I'll help you out.
Right.
These people come to me.
Right. Ralph, can you go with people? I mean, if mom calls you and she's got a son who's, I mean, clearly possessed, what can you do? You can begin to collect evidence, I guess. You can, you have the right contacts. How do you proceed?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would have to speak to Junior.
Right.
You know, I'm always going to speak to the person that's the subject. I don't take third-person cases unless it is a family member and they feel that or they suspect that a family member is having a problem. You know, I'm going to need that person. And you mentioned this word quite a bit tonight, and I'm so happy you did. Intention. I need the intention of that person who either believes they're possessed or are genuinely possessed. I need the intention of that person to want to free themselves of that demon. If not, we have a perfect possession. And you know what Father Martin said about that?
Oh, yes.
So I'm going to need to have that person say to me, you know, because, listen, people who are possessed by a demonic spirit are not possessed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They
right.
have lucid moments.
Gotcha.
Where they are functioning. It's difficult for them. And that is the time frame that they can reach out for help. And that's when I need them to say to me, listen, I need this help. And I really do need help and I want it. And then I'm ready to go to the center of hell to help that person out, as long as they say to me, listen, I need and I want your help. And you know what? I know that I have to accept God, and I know I have to have a relationship with him. There isn't anything that I wouldn't do to help that person at that point.
Okay.
But if there's any time that that person says, you know what, I really don't want to do this anymore, then I'll stop.
Well, I guess you have to make sure that you're talking to the real person, right, when they say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that experience before. I was on the phone for about an hour arguing with this person and didn't even realize that he was under possession at the time.
Right.
He got me so angry because of he was ripping my faith apart. And at that point, you know, I was no longer a demonologist. I was a cop, and I was ready to pound this guy into the ground, you know, and I totally got played completely. So I called my partner up at the time, Joe Forrester, and he goes, Ralph, don't you realize you were talking to the demon? And I'm like, oh, my God, how stupid am I, you know? I learned from it, and, you know, that's how it is. That's how it's done.
So your partner believed as you do.
Well, yeah. Yeah, we were in it together.
All right, so here's a big question for you, and that is, people like yourself, whether talking to somebody on the phone who's possessed or in the presence of somebody who's possessed, what level of danger is there for you?
Well, first off, if I have a case of suspected demonic possession, I will always do an interview in person. It can't be done on the phone. I need to sit down with that person and speak to them. That's the first thing. But the dangers at that point, it's up to God what these demons are allowed to know. So if God obscures from this demon, this person is reaching out for help, the demon won't know it. But in most cases, the demon is going to know that this person is reaching out for help, and most likely it's going to try to stop that person from doing that. A lot of times I would have activity happen in my house, and I wasn't quite sure if it was a case that I dealt with or one that I was going to get or one that I'm dealing with at the moment. But usually if I would have some phenomenon happen, within the next few days I would wind up getting a case of genuine possession.
Wow.
I know that everybody that's in this work that's doing it from the right point of view has experienced that. They will know.
Are you married with children? I really don't know, Ralph, what you're...
Well, I'm divorced.
Divorced, okay.
And I have two daughters and I have two grandsons. And
do you worry about bringing something to your house?
No. No, I don't worry about that because I've reached a different understanding than I had years ago on what it is that I should be doing. And what's been made very clear to me is that the Blessed Mother is very important in all of this. She plays a very important role. And I know my Protestant friends aren't going to like this, but, the Blessed Mother is basically our protection here on earth. Jesus left her here when he ascended up into heaven on Ascension Thursday. And she is our first line of defense down here, and she protects her son Jesus protects us through his mother, and he also gives us graces through his mother, because he's going to judge us. So he gives us his mother to be the mother of mercy, and I go to her for my protection, and I pray my rosary every day, and I wear my scapular every day, and
You really are Catholic to the core, aren't you?
I live a chaste life.
Uh-huh.
I live my life basically as a priest, but outside the church. You know, I have friendships. There are people that I love, but I cannot, do certain things in life. And I want to live according to the way God wants me to live.
Mm-hmm.
In order for me to be effective and for him to hear my prayers and to protect myself, my family, my investigators, and the people that I'm there helping, I need to be doing it right. And if I'm not, I won't be effective, and he will not hear my prayers. So I need to actually walk the walk in order to do what needs to be done, and I'm trying to do the best that I can.
Are there people, Ralph, who actually want to be possessed?
Yes.
And what, I mean, typically, how does that develop? It's unimaginable. You know, I want to be possessed by the devil. Who would say that with meaning and intent ever? I mean, it's just like saying, I want the worst to happen to me.
I don't understand that myself, and I understand you perfectly what you're saying, but, you know, I look at, you know, in order to answer a lot of questions, you got to look at human behavior. Why is it that somebody is so willing to kill another person to take what he has?
Oh, boy, I'm trying to figure that one out myself.
Wouldn't that be the same type of person who would say to the devil, hey, listen, possess me. I want the power. I want the money. You know, I speak to a lot of people, and a lot of them are not exactly what you would consider somebody that I would go out and sit and have a beer with.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that they are my enemy because of who they worship. And basically, they say that they know that the devil, at a certain point, they find out that the devil is, in fact, a liar. He's not going to give you anything except for what he's giving you right now. And that's usually money, sex, drugs, and power.
Hmm.
And that satisfies the narcissist. It's here, it's now, I want it, and I don't give a damn who I got to crush, and they don't even give a damn where their soul ends up at the end. But they're going to worry about it when they do take their last breath, because then they're going to realize what they did. And it's going to be too late.
I interviewed somebody you'd be quite surprised about. Her name is Blanche Barton. And she's like the high priestess of the Church of Satan. And you know, Ralph, I thought it would be a really scary interview. I mean, I was waiting for rattling chains and all the rest of it. Well, you know what I got instead? I got this wonderful, articulate, sweet-sounding woman who was telling me how wonderful her faith in her church was in just the nicest way you can imagine. It was not scary. It was like the sweetest invitation you've ever heard in your whole life. And the audience said, oh, that wasn't scary. But then a day later, when I reviewed the program, and I listened to what she said and the way she said it, it scared the hell out of me, frankly.
Well, you know, the way I look at it, when I go to my church, it's beautiful, and it's not scary.
No, Catholic Church.
So I can get the same thing to where I'm going. But in the same vein, I'm not going to owe anything when I'm done. You know, God's going to accept me because of love. But the devil, she's going to owe the devil when she's done.
All right, Ralph, hold on. What we're going to do, sit tight, Ralph, we're going to open the lines when we come back from the break. So here you go. Our national number is area code 952-225-5278. Once again, national number, area code 952-225-5278, if you'd like to speak to Ralph. And then, of course, there is Skype. And if you have a iPhone or a Android, download Skype, put it in, and then put us in. In North America, we are MITD51. In the rest of the world, outside of North America, we are MITD55, and I promise I will take the calls in the order in which they come, trying to be fair to all.
Dark Matter Network News. This is Amy Martin. An alligator dubbed Godzilla, who tips the scales at more than 800 pounds, is being taken to a gator reserve to live out its days after being found wandering outside a Houston-area shopping center. Godzilla was discovered Saturday by people arriving for work. It's believed that he wandered over to a plaza from a nearby creek. Christy Krobuff is licensed by the state as a, quote, nuisance alligator trapper. She was called to help subdue Godzilla and cart him away. She says that once he was muzzled and restrained, a forklift was borrowed from Home Depot to load him onto a truck. Godzilla is blind in one eye and has only partial sight in the other. The alligator is going to be living at the reserve for his own safety. A 54-year-old man from Somerset, UK, told Cryptozoology News on Friday that he had chased gray aliens out of his home with a baseball bat. The incident reportedly happened in 1995 after the man, suffering from sleep paralysis, became aware of two figures at the foot of his bed. He allegedly attempted to wake his partner before falling asleep again. During the following morning, he claims that his two sons said that clowns had broken in through their bedroom window and that their father had chased them away with a baseball bat. The man also reported that his sons should not have known about the bat that he kept under his bed. According to recent images from the New Horizons mission, NASA says that icy volcanoes may be present all along Pluto's surface. Robert Pappalardo, a planetary scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, told Nature, "If Pluto does indeed have cryovolcanoes, it suggests the volatile ices that coat its surface can flow relatively easily, both at the surface and just below it. The geologic patterns are said to resemble cryovolcanoes like those on Neptune's moon Triton and other frozen worlds." Egypt's antiquities minister says that a scanning project in the Giza pyramids has identified thermal anomalies, including one in the Great Pyramid. The ministry said in a statement Monday that the first phase of the scanning has shown, quote, "a particularly impressive one, anomaly, located on the eastern side of the Khufu pyramid." The thermal scanning was carried out during sunrise as the sun heats the structures from the outside, and then during sunset as the pyramids are cooling down. The speed of the heating and cooling phases was used to uncover hypotheses such as empty areas in the pyramids, internal air currents, or different building materials used. Still, the ministry hasn't identified any evidence of an alleged granary. Have a strange story or a news tip? Email amy@artbell.com. This has been Amy Martin for Dark Matter Network News.
We do have a first-time caller line. That's the one that Ross doesn't know about yet. It's area code 775-285-5800. So if you have never called the show, that's a way to get in. Area code 775-285-5800. That said, back to Ralph Sarchi, who was a cop and is now kind of fighting the devil. Not kind of, actually is. I want to talk a little bit about something you certainly would understand. That'd be rules. Everybody has rules. And I know the Catholic Church has rules. And we have rules. We want to get to heaven, whichever level, and or get somewhere else. We can either follow or break rules. And you know what I wonder, Ralph? I wonder if demons have rules.
They certainly do.
Uh-huh.
God sets them, and they follow them.
Demons follow God's rules.
He created them.
So, give me an example of a demon's rule.
You can't just go around and kill any human being that it wants to kill, which is everyone. God doesn't give it permission to do that. If they knew everything about us, they'd be able to destroy us. We'd be at such a great disadvantage. So God has to, give them the rules to operate by, because we're lesser beings than them. You know, we're a lot weaker than they are, and it's unfair.
It seems to me that you're right about that, Ralph. That demons have a rule that they cannot kill humans. However, that doesn't mean humans don't die as a result of what demons do. And by that, I mean, it seems like demons are always trying to talk somebody into killing somebody else, or they're talking people into trying to kill themselves.
Well, they want to end with a death, and that was the final stage that I was trying to get to. You know, with the three stages of diabolical activity, with the infestation, the oppression, and the possession.
Right.
And you know, the invitation being one of the stages that's needed, and the end result of all of the stages would be a death, preferably at one's own hands.
Mm-hmm. Ralph, that's why I'm asking whether you've ever been harmed while investigating a case. It seems to me somebody trying to move in and change the otherwise case that's being made by this demon, whatever it might be, would be a prime candidate for getting hurt.
Well, that would be the end result that the demonic would want, but it's not the end result that God would want, so it doesn't happen. And therefore, by the grace of God, go I. Hmm. But the demonic look at us in two ways. We're either prey or we're either a threat. When you get to know who the devil is, you know he exists, you have a relationship with God, and you get to know God the way he wants us to get to know him.
Right.
Once that happens, you get to know the devil because you know God's nature. So you can understand the devil better, and he doesn't like that. And you're a threat to him at that point. So those are the two ways that the devil is going to view you, either as a threat or as prey.
So, again, have you ever been harmed in a case?
I've had a difficulty in one case. I was in a basement. I shouldn't have been there alone. I was rather new to the work at that time. My partner and I were just basically starting out. It was in the early part of the 90s. We were in the learning stage, and I made some mistakes. We've always made mistakes, and we've learned from them. And we've been able to operate better because of them. But sometimes it comes at a great price. You know, the devil is always going to try to make you miserable to keep your mind off of him and off of your cases and put your mind onto your misery, because he likes it better that way.
Okay, well, I hope I haven't pushed you too hard. I want to take you now to some calls, and let's see what they do. Let's go first to Skype and John. Hello.
Hello, Art Bell. How are you?
I'm fine. John, you're a little far away from your microphone, whatever it is you're using for one. So if you're on a laptop, sneak up close to that little hole in the top of the laptop and talk.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Well, you're still echoey, but go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry about the connection. I thought it was better, but I wanted to ask your guest, hello, Ralph. I wanted to ask your guest if he knew that about one of your guests earlier on your new show that told the story that Father Malachi Martin had been a contract agent for the Central Intelligence Agency.
That's fact. Yes. Let me investigate that right now. Indeed, I had a man on, Ralph, who said that in France, Father Malachi had been dispatched by the CIA in some way to retrieve an object at a dinner, as a matter of fact. And I wonder if you'd ever heard that he had had any contacts at all with the CIA.
Well, yeah, but to tell you the truth, Father Martin has never really gone into that detail with me. But like I said, Art, after the documentary, I was put in the path of certain people who were very close to Father Martin that I was not aware of. Father Martin had a way of keeping his friends separate from one another, which is a pretty smart tactic if you really think about it.
Oh, yes.
It's a safe way to go through life, and it's usually when you're involved in something deep, you usually do that. You separate your friends.
Okay, but that's a yes.
Well, I can only assume at this point.
Uh-huh.
There's been a lot of things that I've heard about Father Martin over the years that within the last year have either been disproven or proven to me. So I wouldn't doubt it, but I don't know for sure, so I really can't say.
But you've heard these things.
I've heard rumors, of course, okay. You know, and I would say that this could be very feasible, but you got to remember that the Vatican had themselves probably one of the best intelligence agencies in the entire universe, because God was at the head of that one.
Okay. Jackson, Mississippi, hello.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. You've got a lot of noise in the background.
I'm sorry.
That's better.
I have a question for you, Art, as well as one for Ralph. Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay. I heard your interview with the African Brigadier General a few days ago, and I was wondering if you ever contacted him after that.
The African Brigadier General. Who was that?
I don't recall his name, but he had... A UFO had crashed, and he was in the Army, and they brought him to the U.S. I'm sorry.
I guess I, without a name, I don't recall it offhand. Go ahead with your question for Ralph.
All right. Hello, Ralph.
Hello.
I was just curious. I was curious to know how one would know if they were being influenced by a demon and not.
Okay, the beginning. In other words, how would they know if the influence was there, Ralph?
I would have to say by the outcome of whatever the action is. If it was good for your soul, then I would have to say that the devil had nothing to do with it.
Huh. Okay. Boy,
that's a tough question.
It really is a tough question, isn't it?
I mean, I could go through intricate detail on how the devil actually does that, goes about that. But as far as knowing what is our own and what is the influence of the devil, I can only go by whatever the outcome of the act is would lead you to believe on who was the most influential over the decision that you made.
Whew. Okay. Let's go somewhere outside the country, and Tiger Lily. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
I have a question for Ralph. Could you tell us, like, from beginning to end, how someone contacts you, what you look for to see if there actually is a demon, and then how you go about dealing with that?
Okay, first of all, the contact. Good question. How would somebody contact you?
Oh, there's a lot of different ways. Facebook is one. Sometimes I get a letter. Sometimes people find family members and contact me through that way. I would set up basically an interview on the phone. And these days I have so many people that are coming to me. Chances are that you're going to speak to one of my investigators first. And then I'll look into it if the investigator feels that it's something legit.
You're that busy, huh?
Unfortunately, I am. Not only people who are suffering from demonic activity, I get a lot of people who are mentally ill.
Yes.
So that takes a lot of time to figure whether it's a mental illness or if it is actually demonic activity, or if it's both. Who says that people who are mentally ill cannot suffer from diabolical activity? So it's really tough sometimes. It takes me months and months sometimes to really get to the heart of the situation. So it does take a lot of time, and
I guess mental illness can look a whole lot like demonic activity. Is that right?
Yeah, it does, but people who are mentally ill don't know they're mentally ill, so I sort of work it in that, along that vein. And there are some people that are mentally ill that are very intelligent, and, their mental illness is not, it doesn't stop them from functioning in a normal society, but it's there, and it is a nuisance, to them. And it's an unfortunate cross that they have to bear.
And I'm sure a nuisance to you as well, too, in trying to differentiate.
I don't look at it like that. Whether they're suffering from diabolical activity for real or whether they're imagining it, they're still suffering either way. So you know, I have to help. I try to help them, but I help them in a different way. You know, I'm not going to push. If somebody's suffering from mental illness, I'm certainly not going to push the fact that they're possessed. I'm going to try to lead them more in towards a discussion about faith and God. Instead of talking about the devil, I want their mind off of the devil, and I want their mind on God, where they would be more inclined to find peace and help their suffering a little, at least a little bit, you know.
Gotcha. All right, let's keep going. A lot of people want to talk to you. TMAC, whatever that is, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
I had a question for Ralph. I was listening to a couple of his, I guess his theology on certain things. I wanted to know, where does it say in the Bible that Mary is the protector of the earth?
Well, I didn't say the protector of the earth. If you remember during the crucifixion when Jesus was just about to command his spirit into the hands of his Father, the only two that were left was his mother and St. John, who was the youngest apostle but one of Jesus' favorites. And Jesus looked down and he said to his mother, "Mother, behold your son." And he said, "Son, behold your mother." I don't believe that Jesus was saying, you know, "Hey, listen, you guys, I want you to look after my mother." I think they would have automatically done that. I think what Jesus basically was giving us is that he was giving his mother to us, and he was giving us to his mother because he loves us and he knew that he was leaving. And at that point, when he rose from the dead, he was now going to judge us. So in God's mercy, instead of leaving us out here, hanging in the breeze, he appoints Jesus as our judge, but at the same time, he gives us his mother as the mother of mercy. So Jesus can work through her to give us the graces that we deserve when we do good, kind acts for one another. I hope that helps you.
Okay. Yeah, because I asked this more of a, from like an educational point of view, since I'm not too familiar with like, like Catholic, theology and stuff.
I'm sorry. I look at it this way. Do you love your mother?
Mm-hmm.
Do you love your mother?
Yes, I do.
You do. Now, if I did something nice for your mother, would you like me or dislike me?
If you did something nice to my mom?
Yes. You would like me?
Oh, well, yeah.
So when I say my prayers and I say to the Blessed Mother, "Will you please pray for me to your son?" You know, I love the fact that you are the mother of my Savior, and you said yes. And you are sanctified because the Savior of this world actually grew in her body. Her womb is sanctified ground. Why would we not honor the mother of God? We honor our own mothers. So why not honor God's mother? There's nothing wrong with it. And you know what? Jesus loves the Blessed Mother more than anything his Father created. And you know what? If she's good enough for Jesus, then she's good enough for me.
Can't argue with that, I guess. All right. Let's go to Phoenix. You're on the air with Ralph Sarchi. Hi.
Hi, this is Michael.
Yep, first-time caller, right?
Yes, sir, at least in the last 20 years. Good to hear you back on the air, Art.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm your friend out here with the bad back also, by the way.
Okay, all right, well.
So I know what you're going through.
Hey,
okay, I have a quick question. Well, Art, you used to speak about something that you called the quickening.
Yes.
And do you feel... also, Ralph, do you feel that there's, I feel like that this, maybe what Art calls the quickening, to me is these dark influences that have been moving into, I don't want to sound crazy, but like our dimensional plane or our existence because of these secret societies that have been trying to bring forth Lucifer and things like that. Do you feel? I feel like there's a lot of really strange and bad things happening.
I think that caller, you've said it very well in a way. Look, the quickening was just my general observation that things in the world are happening at a faster and faster rate. Now, you can extend that to mean that the influence of evil is apparent more and more and more, and I don't think there can be any argument that that is true. It is so absolutely true. You would agree with that, Ralph, right?
Oh, yes, definitely, without a doubt.
Sure, and that's what Father Martin said. A lot of America has moved in an interesting way, Ralph, and if Father Martin was here today, they would ask him some questions. And when he answered with the traditional Catholic response to questions about whether it would be about homosexuality or anything else that is presently very controversial within the church, there would be a lot of hatred toward him. So America has changed in a very big way, and I can guarantee you, Ralph, that if I were to ask you these questions and you were to give me the traditional Catholic response, you would get a lot of hate mail. You understand that, right?
Well, I already get it. So, you know, it would just increase a little bit. And, you know, that would be fine. And the way I look at it is this. If I wasn't hated, then I wouldn't be doing something right.
Yeah. That's exactly right. That is right. I know when I do a good show, Ralph, I get a lot of really good mail, and I get a lot of really nasty mail. I'm telling you, really nasty. So, hold tight, Ralph. We'll be back. You want to talk to Ralph Sarchi, what phones are for. It's kind of an easy number to remember, right? 1-952-CALL-ART. I always wanted one like that. 1-952-CALL-ART. Okay, my guest is Ralph Sarchi. He was a very close friend of Father Malachi Martin. And he continues his work in the way that he's doing it, and he's hunting the bad guys. When I say bad guys, I mean demons. And maybe the devil. And sometimes it really is the devil. Ralph, is that true? I mean, occasionally, every now and then, it's not some associated demon or lower form. It's actually the devil.
Well, all demonic spirits always have a connection to the devil. So he might not be exactly the one doing the possession, but he's not far away.
So he always delegates?
Well, yeah, of course, he's too busy doing other things. He sends his demons out to do his work, just like God sends his angels out to do his work.
Yes. All right. On Skype, you're on the air with Ralph Sarchi. Hi. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. Let's go to, it looks like Red Oak, Texas, I think. Hello, Red Oak, Texas. Yes, I hear you.
Okay. My name is Andre. I'm calling from Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
I had a couple questions for Ralph about demonic possession. I was just wondering, are there different levels of possession? Like, can you be possessed and not realize that you're demonically possessed? Hmm. And my other question was, it seems like in all the stories that I've heard of, the most effective weapon against demonic possession is through the Catholic Church is exorcism. Tends to be the one thing that works the best, and I was just wondering why he thought that was.
Okay. Yeah, so that's two questions, really. Question number one is, can you be in the process of being possessed and not realize it? Ralph?
Well, there is a certain type of demon that will attack through the intellect, and I think that that is probably one of the most difficult types of cases to deal with, because it sort of refers to the question before, how do you know you're being influenced?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know what's going on when you feel that it's coming from your own intellect, your own thoughts? I actually wrote about that in one of my cases in Deliver Us From Evil, is the actual way the person was attacked made him not realize for quite some time that it was something alien from him.
Right.
And that was actually the key to the exorcism being successful. Until he realized that, that demon would not be expelled. Because right. I needed the intent and the free will of that person to expel it
gotcha.
In order to be effective.
Got the second question concerns exorcism itself. Are there other ways to do it, or is exorcism by far and away the most effective?
Well, you know, I know I'm going to have some heat for this. I was called a heretic for it already, but I believe that not only Catholics can be saved. All right, Father Martin believed it. Bishop McKenna believed it. They're both my mentors, and there are some other really good priests that influenced me that believe it. Not only Catholics can obtain heaven. I know it says it in the Bible. I know it says Scripture. You can only be a Catholic. But you know what? One of my best friends is a Lutheran, and he's a better man than I could be any time on my best day. He's a family man. He goes to church every Sunday. He treats people better than I'll ever treat people. And how would it be for me to say, hey, you know what, bud, you ain't making it because, you know, you ain't
not
Catholic.
Yeah, I too have a great deal of problems with some of the things within the church. And I, you know, I don't want to get into a debate with you, so I'm not going to bring them up. But, well, maybe I'll bring up one. I mean, how for example, can a child who has not been baptized and who passes for some reason or another, any reason really, not attain heaven? I don't buy that one for a second.
I don't either. You know, I really don't. I look more towards God as being merciful. You know what? If we give him just a chance to be merciful, I'm sure he'll take that route. But I don't want to say that, hey, you could go out and you can do all kinds of sin if you want, because that would be misleading.
Right.
And you know what? I don't have all the answers. Father Martin didn't have all the answers either. And he knew it, and, you know, we can only do the best that we can.
Well, he's got him now.
What's that?
He's got him now.
Well, no. Oh, yeah, he's got him now, and I wish he'd give me some of the answers, because I could certainly use them, and I'm sure he has been.
Right. Do you have any view of the current Pope that you want to put on the air?
Well, I'll tell – you asked me a question. I'm going to give you the truth. I'm
okay.
not going to hide.
Yeah, go.
I don't believe that this pope is a valid pope. I don't recognize him as a pope. I am a set of acatist. I am a traditional Catholic. I am like
feeling.
Father Martin. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that this man, Bergoglio, is leading the church in the direction that Jesus Christ intended us to be led.
Wow. I had another – priest on not long ago who said the same thing, and they tore him to pieces.
Well, they could tear me to pieces. I don't care. I'd rather have God love me than the people who are tearing me to pieces. Trust me.
Yeah. First time caller line in Tucson. Hi.
Hello. Tell you the truth, I am a Roman Catholic priest, and I have to agree with you. I have some questions about the current pope, and Operation Gladio is part of that. Anyway, we weren't taught much about demonology when I was ordained about 30 years ago, 33. And I used to have a wonderful prayer life before the Blessed Sacrament. A fellow priest who was an alcoholic came in during a very, very deep meditative period and in a terrible voice, gruff, gruff voice. I was so much at peace. He said, "Are you wrecked?" This vicious, nasty thing that somehow got into my heart and soul before the Blessed Sacrament. And I hadn't been able to pull out of it. This was about, 25 years ago. And I've tried and tried to pray around it, pray past it. But every time I get close to our Lord and the Holy Eucharist again, to be honest, Ralph, I hear that horrible voice. And I was wondering, because we were taught so little about demonology, sadly. I remember Father Malachi Martin speaking with Art about that back in the 1990s, that we are sadly, badly trained, and it's true, in the priesthood. How would that be, like an insertion, do you think, of the evil one? How do we get around that?
Well,
my ministry has been superficialism. I'm sorry, go ahead.
He's using methods that human weakness. You know when you focus on a certain sound, you try to sleep, you can't do it. My suggestion to you would be, if you haven't done already, is to offer this suffering that you're going through right now, because it's keeping you from getting close to Jesus. Offer the suffering up to the Blessed Mother to give to her Son to use in any manner that he wants. And when you turn a suffering from the devil into a grace, he flees from that. Can't stay around that. I don't know, Father, do you pray the rosary every day?
I'm sorry, he's gone. He got disconnected, not by eye.
I hope he gets back. I hope he finds me on Facebook and gets back to me.
I hope so. I tried to pick up this person on Skype before, and they weren't there. Let's see if they are now. Hello. Going once, going twice, and once again gone. And I won't pick that one up again. Okay, let's go to Bloomington, I believe. Illinois, is that right?
You got it. Yep. Good evening, Eric. Good evening, Ralph.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi there. My question is actually quite simple. I would love to hear a really scary demon story from you, something that either shook your faith or convinced you that the devil is an extant, real-life, malevolent entity that exercises influence on humankind. And I can take my answer off the air.
Hmm. All right. Go ahead, Ralph. If you have such a story, feel free to tell it.
Well, I don't have one particular story. It's been a culmination of all the things that I've seen over the years. I mean, there's something stand out in my mind, and I think it just happened to be one exorcism that I didn't actually assist at the time. Was during an exorcism, the person's face and facial features, basically, and the eyes change right there on the video. I assisted at this man's second exorcism, and I could tell you that he didn't look like he looked when that first exorcism came. But that I sort of showed that video to Eric Banner and Edgar Ramirez, and that was the only video that I got a chance to show them. After that, they didn't want to see anything else. They were done.
Okay, so pretty scary stuff.
That was it. Yeah, that was it.
All right, so Sumaneth, I'm sorry, having trouble pronouncing that on Skype. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I love your show, Art.
Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you the story from last year that I had. I was listening to Malachi Martin talk about his experience with exorcism, and it was about 4 a.m. I went outside to have a cigarette in my backyard. And in the lemon tree in my backyard, I saw a shadow. And I remember his advice. He had said to not show any fear. So I turned my back and was smoking my cigarette. And I ashed my cigarette. And it sent me this message. In my mind, it said I could have whatever I wanted if I gave it my soul. Mm. And so I immediately said no. And his advice just moments before I had this experience was fresh in my mind. It was basically to give it a command and to not answer the demon's command. And so essentially I just said, get out of here. What are you doing here? And so on and so forth. And I just had never had any experience like this. So
well,
it's
a very interesting experience. And I do want to ask Ralph about it. Ralph. I want to ask about this.
Mm-hmm.
Does a representative of the devil actually at times come to people and say something like, you know, make your wish, you can have anything you want, all that we want in return is your soul?
Well, I haven't heard it to that degree, but that is the sum and the essence of what the contract would be, is the devil is going to give you something in return for your soul.
Right.
But what I want to get, and it's very important, is whenever you address what you might feel is a demonic spirit, you never command it in your own name. You always command it in the name of Jesus, because we don't have authority over these beings. Only Jesus does. And he gives us that authority in his name. But here's the kicker. You need to have a relationship with Jesus in order to use his name. If you don't have it, chances are you're going to be in some serious trouble.
Gotcha.
You got no protection.
Okay. All right. Let's go to who's next. And it looks like Denver. Hi.
Howdy, Art. It's Mark Yamshark out of Aurora, Colorado, KLZ 560, listening to, if I get this right, Kilowatt Yokohama, help me with the rest. Nancy, I screwed it all up.
Yeah,
all
you right, did. You got dyslexic, exactly what I don't want people to do. It's
Kilowatt, Nancy,
Yokohama,
easy.
There you go.
Sorry. Thanks for the second swing at that anyway. This Ralph guy, this is wonderful guy to listen to. Congratulations on staying on the straight and narrow. Normally out here out west, the Easterners wear a little thin, they're brash and all. How refreshingly wonderful to have such a wonderful cut the baloney New Yorker to just cut through the cheese and deliver it straight up. And so thanks, Ralph. You are a godsend.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Two things real quick, Art. Write this down, and I hold you personally responsible, sir, and same with all these other nationwide shows, quote-unquote. I think you do humankind a disservice by not occasionally holding, and I know this is shaky territory here, but I still feel you are morally bound, sir, to hold occasional mass world prayer meetings. It doesn't have to be specific. We have to pray for good against the devil. We have a very good chance to be overwhelmed by the devil, New World Order, and we also have a very good chance to defeat these people. So please, Art, consider that. Thank you. And to Ralph, my question, sir, I'm a wayward Catholic. I had to divorce myself from the evil, what I see as the Roman Catholic Church, and I'm done, finished through with those people. So how would you also, the one thing I can't quite squeeze into my new faith, sir, is I'm not quite over the threshold on Jesus. I think he was a definite, I'll call him a historical phenomenon. I can't say with all of my heart that I believe that part of the story. I lean more to the wacko side. So here's my $64 question for Ralph. How do you comport, sir, all this wacko stuff, which I believe a lot of, and comment, if you would, on the same RCC, Roman Catholic Church. Also, they're watching the heavens, too. There's UFOs, ETs out there. I see God as part of one of these competing ETs. I cut it simple. I pray to the good side. And we know the Roman Catholic Church has their Lucifer telescope, and they're watching the heavens, too. And how do you see, Ralph, both of you guys, that's all. Shut up. I've hogged it enough. So
all right. Thank you very much for the call. And I'm not even sure what you said, but the chances of me holding a mass on here are slim and zero. So that's my answer to you. Now, I think he was sort of I'll construct a question for him. Even though what he said was somewhat disconnected, discombobulated, he did manage to get in the Lucifer telescope. In fact, there is a telescope that they've jokingly named Lucifer, and I guess it's next to the Vatican's telescope in Arizona. And he then started to refer to UFOs and the rest of it. So I wonder how the church views the possibility of alien life, or do you not feel qualified to address that?
Well, no, I believe that the UFO phenomenon is an alien, is a demonic deception. These UFOs operate outside of the natural order instituted by God. I don't believe that another race, race of being created can have that much power over our physical world. You know, a lot of the phenomenon that is explained by these people that deal with the UFOs is extremely similar to diabolical activity.
So the whole thing's demonic.
I would believe it's demonic because it leads us away from that thought of we are created in the image of God. If there's another being created, then that theory is pretty much out of whack.
Okay, then. Oh, Ralph, I've got one for you, buddy. Okay. I've sure got one for you. All right, then. Let's imagine the following, Ralph.
Uh-huh.
A being comes down, representative of another world of alien beings, intelligent alien beings. And down the ramp he walks of the spacecraft, and we find a way to communicate with him. And he indicates that he seems like a good fella for the most part. But, Ralph, he indicates that he doesn't understand the concept of God or religion or anything to do with anything like that. But, you know, he's a good fellow nevertheless. You would dub that being a demonic being.
Well, at this particular point, yeah. And I know it's a hypothetical situation.
It is.
So it's a pretty tough question to answer. I am always searching for answers.
Me too.
And I haven't gotten any answer that has proven to me that these alien beings do exist. I haven't seen anything yet.
No, there's no sure thing yet. But I mean, other people would say the same thing about God.
That's true. That's definitely true, and that would be a personal thing, you know, and they have the right to feel that way, and they have the right to do what they do, and I have the right to feel the way I do, and
you
I
do.
Have the right to do what I do.
You do. Some of the religious people that I proffered that question to, Ralph, said that if that were, it could not be true, because there is one but one God for all. So if they came down and didn't know of God, their faith would be shattered, because it just can't be.
No, it can't be. And like I said, we haven't crossed that bridge yet. And
Oof.
You know what? If the time comes that we do cross that bridge, then I'm going to have to start to look at things. But, you know, the way I feel about it and what I know and what I see, that day will never come.
Okay. Max on Skype, you're on the air.
Good evening. Good evening, gentlemen. Ralph,
hi.
I want to start off by saying that I am a ex-Christian. I'm an atheist at this time, and I find you very, very credible. I was raised to fear this sort of thing, to not talk about it, to not think about it, lest, you know, we summon the Dark Lord himself. And I've got to say, I put it out of my mind completely, and tonight I'm thinking about it again. You mentioned there was a video of a girl, a young girl that was fluently speaking Latin, or there was a case where there was a video of a young girl fluently
yes.
speaking Latin inexplicably.
Yes. yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any video of that or any recording, anything?
I have it, yes.
Besides? You do. Would that be posted somewhere or somewhere somebody could look at it? I'm really interested in that.
No, you know what? At this particular point, in those days, people did not want anybody to know who they were. Confidentiality was a very, very important thing to the people, you know, that came to me for help. This day and age is a little different. Everybody wants to seem to, you know, to get on TV and to let the world know, you know, that they're suffering from diabolical activity. Things have changed. But, you know, I took the video. I have it. I gave it to Marty Stalker to incorporate into Hostage of the Devil.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I believe that you will see footage of it.
I think that alone will sell the tape.
Holy mackerel. Would sell it for me. I
want
to see it. Holy mackerel.
Right. That alone makes me want to see it.
Well, you know, it's in there. I had two DVDs that I made with VHS tapes back in the day of Father Martin giving lectures, and I also sent Marty the DVD of that exorcism so he can incorporate it into the documentary.
My goodness!
And like I said, you'll be able to see that. And Art, I'm going to send you some DVDs of the Father Martin lectures that I taped. I'm going to send them to you uncut and unedited, so you'll get the whole version. And you know, I'm working on that. You just give me a couple more days. But
okay, I'd love to. Wow, I had no idea you sent that. to them.
No,
wow.
I'm gonna get them out to you shortly. I promise you that.
Father Martin said a couple of things. You know, we had, Ralph, a relationship both on and off the air.
I know you did.
And he did say some things to me that I just can't talk about. Okay. All right. Let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Hello there.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, hang on?
Hang on, Art.
I'm sorry. I had my speakerphone on, and I forgot to put it up to my ear when I turned the speaker off.
I see.
You said Little Rock. Okay, what I was calling about, I'm listening on KXL on the telephone.
KXL on the telephone, okay.
You know, the telephone number.
Okay, the free listen number, yes, okay.
Yes. I wanted to speak to your guest, Ralph, about, he named the two levels that he knew of but didn't know of anything else. Which is also the level of the saints, you know, the people who have invited Jesus, and you have to invite him to live in your heart and believe in him. He won't come in unless you invite him. And that's the saints. That's another level, the believers.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm learning. And I would have to say that maybe the first level, the closest level to the beatific face of God would be the martyrs. The next would be the people who live a chaste and virtuous life. And I would have to say that the next level would be the person who led a humble life, a life of humility, because the sin of the devil is the sin of pride. So the virtue of humility would be right up there. And that's the virtue that the Blessed Mother had. That set her up to be the exact opposite of what Lucifer was, the author of pride. The Blessed Mother, her virtue was humility. So
I agree.
I would have to say that maybe that next level, would be for people that lived a humble life. I don't know.
I agree. I don't know.
I'm on the journey. I'm learning.
Right. I don't know what the next level is, but that's one of the levels, you know.
Well, dear, the best way to do that is to pray and ask God to give you the answers to the questions that you're asking for, and I'm sure he'll answer you.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. I sometimes I think God either doesn't answer or says no. Always get a yes.
The way I look at it, that is, if he doesn't answer and he says no, it's because it's not good for you.
Okay. Larry on Skype, very quickly, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say that I'm so happy to hear somebody on the radio tell the truth about the demonic UFO deception that is being propagated on the whole world. And if you got to be blind not to see it all these years.
Really?
Of being programmed with movies and whatnot. And I just wanted to say, God bless you for that, brother. Everyone needs to know, because it will be too late.
If it's so in other words, if it's E.T. or E.T. related, it's demonic.
That's it. That's what I believe, and I believe your guest is saying the same thing.
Ralph?
I am. At this point, yes, that's what the evidence proves to me.
God bless you, brother, and bless everyone that hears
this. Can I ask both of you why that is? Why would anything E.T. have to be demonic? I'm sorry, I'm not in the same camp with you, but I do want to understand what you two are saying.
Well, it's biblical. There's going to be a deception
where in the Bible?
Brought upon the whole world. And what wouldn't be the most perfect deception is something that would grab everybody.
Well, now, this is...
Aliens are coming to answer your prayers.
But wait a minute.
They're going to save us. It's an artificial savior.
Sir,
we have a savior.
Sir.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. But this is a hypothesis on your part, right? You're hypothesizing that they would be evil. It does say there'll be a deception. It doesn't say exactly what it's going to be, though.
Right.
This has come to me. I believe
I can't argue with that.
The Spirit has told me this.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to pass the message on, lest anybody be deceived.
I'm not going to argue with anybody's faith.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Right, thank you.
Hey, have a good night.
So,
you know, it's a tough question, Art. It really is. And like I said, I don't have all the answers. I wish Father Martin was here.
Oh, me too.
He could probably answer that question a heck of a lot better and in greater detail than I can.
Well, I've frequently said that if E.T. ever shows up, walks down the ramp, he'll be so full of lead by the time he hits the bottom that... Let's take a break, Ralph.
Dark Matter Network News. This is Amy Martin. SeaWorld will end its orca shows at its San Diego park by 2017, its top executive said Monday, saying customers at the location have made clear they prefer killer whales acting more naturally rather than doing tricks. CEO Joel Manby told investigators that the park, where the iconic shows of killer whales doing flips and other stunts debuted decades ago, will offer a different kind of orca experience, focusing on the animal's natural setting and its behaviors starting in 2017. Animal rights activists called the move a marketing gimmick and want the company to phase out holding whales in captivity altogether. The Orlando, Florida-based company has seen revenues drop since 2013 following the release of the documentary Blackfish that examined how orcas respond to captivity, particularly in the case of a killer whale that caused the death of a trainer. Attendance has dropped the most at its San Diego location, and the decision to end such shows would be limited for now to the original home of Shamu. Shows at its other parks, including in San Antonio and Orlando, will continue. Manby told investors that the new killer whale attraction will have a strong conservation message. The animal rights organization PETA said that the move does not go far enough and urged investment in whale sanctuaries. This news came days after SeaWorld Entertainment Incorporated reported that its third quarter earnings missed Wall Street expectations. The California Coastal Commission endorsed the plans last month on the condition that SeaWorld agree to stop breeding orcas in captivity and not transfer or sell the animals. Scientists in Canada made history this week as they used focused ultrasound to non-invasively breach the blood-brain barrier and more effectively deliver chemotherapy into the brain tumor of a patient. This is the first time that the barrier has been breached in such a manner to administer medications directly to the brain. The barrier, which exists to prevent the passage of toxic substances from the bloodstream into the brain, is said to block out an estimated 98% of potential drug therapies. The success of this research opens up the potential for delivering drug therapies, including researching treatments for patients with various kinds of brain tumors, Alzheimer's, and some psychiatric conditions. According to Todd Mainprise, neurosurgeon and principal investigator to the study, the blood-brain barrier has been a persistent obstacle to delivering valuable therapies to treat diseases such as tumors. The microbubbles, which are smaller than red blood cells, pass harmlessly through with circulation. We were able to temporarily open this barrier in a patient to deliver chemotherapy directly to the brain tumor. Have a strange story or a news tip? Email amy@artbell.com. This has been Amy Martin for Dark Matter Network News.
Somebody really is going to have to help me out. I'm telling you, I had a couple of priests on here who, frankly, carry pretty much the same view as Father Malachi would and as Ralph Sarchi does. Those two priests were pretty much slaughtered in email, and the wormhole was not real kind. But Father Malachi Martin was received warmly, as Ralph Sarchi is being received very warmly. So there is something about the nature of the universe as regards talk shows that I don't get. That's just the way it is. Ralph, welcome back.
Thank you, Art.
There are still mysteries, I guess, for me to discover, Ralph. All right, here's a fellow who tried to get on twice, and I told him, you know, he didn't answer both times. You're on the air now, so speak.
Art Bell.
Yes.
My hero. Thank you so much for letting me be on the
air. What happened the first two times?
I have, like, four devices going at once. I have earphones going into a...
I don't need to know. You know how to get on now the right way, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
thank
good.
You
all
so
right.
Much.
Proceed.
Okay, my question for your guest, and what a wonderful show this has been, and the entire season has been for you, Art.
Thank you.
The question is, and I've emailed you about this, Art, is it possible for someone who may have, in a moment of weakness, made a deal with Satan to revoke that deal?
A really good question, actually. So, see, it was worth getting through. Ralph, is it possible? What a good question. If you've made a deal with the devil, and, I don't know, you're beginning to reap the benefits, whether that would be the woman of your dreams or the riches that you dreamed of, or, I don't know, whatever, the deal you made, can you revoke the deal?
Most certainly, with the intention. You need to have the intention. And if you saw the first episode of The Demon Files, that's exactly what happened. The girl made a pact with the devil when she was 13. After I did the investigation and did the interview, I asked her, do you feel that you made a mistake? And she says, oh, yeah. And I says, do you feel if you would you take those words back? And she said, yeah. And I said, okay, we're going to help you with that. We have prayers for that.
Wow. Well, I would have said I didn't think that a person could revoke such a deal.
Sure.
The answer is, what do I know?
You can revoke the deal that God made with you. So why couldn't you reverse it and revoke the deal that the devil made?
Okay.
You know, we can do these things, but we still have to atone for these sins that we commit. So, you know, the less you commit, the better it would be for you. But not all is lost. As long as you're still breathing, you can always change everything that you've done. You can undo it.
See, I've got to be honest with you, Ralph. That's another problem I've had with the church. Mm-hmm. That you can undo it. I mean, no matter how bad, no matter how mortal the sin, you can undo it. And I don't know, Ralph. Let's go to the phones.
Right.
We can't answer this one. You can't answer this one. I don't think you can anyway.
Well, I could try.
Really? All right. Well, go ahead. Try. Hold on a second.
Just because we commit a sin, Jesus tells us, come to me and ask for my forgiveness and truly be sorry and I'll forgive you for your sins.
Mm.
That happens. We receive absolution as far as Catholics are concerned. We do penance to atone for that sin. But at the end, there is still a temporal punishment that goes along with that sin. You still have to pay for that. It's not as simple as you might think that I could just say these words and say, hey, listen, yeah, I want to be forgiven. There is a lot more to it than that.
All right.
You know, that's about all I could tell you.
All right. Caller. First time caller line. You're on the air.
Yes. Good evening. Mr. Bell?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on the phone with Mr. Searching Yourself. And I first want to say I am honored. I just finished listening to on YouTube the entire series for a second time with yourself and Father Martin from the 90s.
Oh.
And I wanted to say thank you. Absolutely incredible. And I am a New York forensic psychologist. I have two constructs called dark psychology and now the information age dark side of human consciousness construct called I Predator, which is actually, by the grace of God, is now being accepted by national universities. My question is essentially for the two of you related to what we would say is evil, or from my forensic world, can also be a psychopath. My question is I'm getting more and more calls because I help people who are being cyber stalked, online sexual predators, cyber crime, so forth and so on. The question for the two of you, do you feel that cyberspace and everything that's going on is actually accelerating, whether you want to say evil or nefarious activities, because from where I'm coming from, slowly but surely, the calls that I'm getting calls from folks of the cloth asking me, Dr. Nucitelli, you know, does evil exist in cyberspace? And I can't answer that question. I am open to both evil as well as, from a criminal justice standpoint, the pristine psychopath. So my question is, do you feel cyberspace is accelerating at all?
Yeah, I personally blame most stuff on Microsoft, but Ralph, what do you think?
Well, you know, I look at it this way. With the technology, like I mentioned earlier in the program, the information that's available to people now is a lot greater than, you know, when we were growing up, you had to go to the library and look up for a book to find out what you need. Now all you have to do is press a button and do a little typing.
True.
But, you know, you see, you can use the internet and cyberspace for evil, but you can also use it to look up, Our Lady of Fatima to find out about that.
There you go.
Use the internet to look up a saint that you just heard about. And in the same vein, you could go on the internet and you could look at porn and you could ruin your soul. It's how you use it.
You really think porn would ruin your soul?
Oh, well, yeah, I do. Unfortunately, yeah, it's the case.
Okay. Well, I'm not a porn nut, but I've seen it.
I've seen it too, but what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about just seeing it. I'm talking about interacting with it. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's ugly. All right. Let's go to
the... Okay. It's a family show, so I don't want to go there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Okay. So, on Skype, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Art, how you doing?
I'm well. A little differently than when I began the show. Go ahead.
Yes, it's a great show tonight.
It is.
A lot better than what the Monday Night Football game ended up being.
Don't tell me the results of that.
Anyway, I've got a question for both you and Ralph. Ralph, having been a good friend of Father Malachi Martin's.
Yes.
What happened to Kathleen Keating? Does anybody know what happened to her?
Not me. She disappeared.
She passed away.
Did she pass away?
That's what I heard. Okay. I'm not 100% sure.
That would seem likely, caller, because I haven't heard a word about her. People keep asking, and I can't find a thing. Okay?
Yeah, I had one other question. Ralph, have you ever investigated Benjamin Krim and that person that supposedly he represents, the Maitreya?
Okay.
No, you know what? I handle cases when people come to me with a problem. I try not to go out and look for things on my own. Yeah. That sort of leads me into danger. I just wait for God to send me who he wants me to deal with.
That's, yeah, enough comes to you as it is, more than you can handle. Edmonton is on the line. Hi. Going once. Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hello.
Hello again.
You can hear me?
Yes. If I couldn't hear you, I wouldn't say hello back.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. I have a question for Ralph with regards to his demonic, I guess he's got a talent for recognizing the demonic spirit.
Yes.
What I'm wondering is, in a person who may be possessed with some form of a spirit, would they be at all obligated to offer up, say, gifts to the devil that they made the deal with? That would be, say, hair or parts of another human being, like maybe skin, cutting them up, like unbeknownst to them and stuff like that. Would that be something that someone possessed might do to another person?
You mean like a sacrifice?
Well, just offerings that would be given, well, that someone would be taking.
The gift that a person would be giving the devil is the soul, because it doesn't belong to him.
Right,
it belongs to God, so it would be a gift.
Someone. But that's impossible to take someone's soul if they're a child of God.
You cannot take somebody else's soul and give it away. No, you cannot. It belongs to God and it belongs to the person. Right.
Right, but would they be obligated to actually give offerings from another human is what I'm asking. I had an experience where I was dating someone and they started to, you know, remove triangular pieces of off my back and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I quit dating him. I thought it was a little odd, right?
Good.
Yeah, well, what do you mean triangular pieces off your back? Your skin?
Yeah, like pieces of my skin, pieces of my hair. At one point, he made me like a little gift bag with some buttons.
Very bad example of a paranormal date. Yikes.
Oh, geez. I would well, you know what? They use these objects because they feel they use it in the spells because it contains your essence. It contains your energy. So,
okay,
you know,
it would be paranormal activity. That would be considered paranormal.
A triangle out of your back.
That would be considered preternatural, as far as I'm concerned, not paranormal.
Yeah.
The devil.
Okay. Skype.
Sorry,
that's all right. Bill, it's your turn.
answer. Respect and kindness. I'm an atheist, and I have a good friend who is a Christian. And when it comes down to it, we don't argue the faith like what you just told him. So I think that's why he's received, like Father was received in kind and, you know, with warmth, is kindness and respect.
You could be absolutely right. I'm going to have to sit down and think about this really, really hard, because the last two priests I had on were very conservative. Church.
I myself cannot believe that out of the size of our universe that we're alone and that they wouldn't have other views too. And I'd be very interested in hearing those views. I don't want to think they're coming to save us. I think they would help us, you know, grow. But when the truth comes down to it, none of us know.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question. In our lifetime in this world, you know, whenever somebody has ever visited another country, it was a conquest and they were taking it from them. If we were going to be visited by any kind of alien life, if it does exist, they're coming here to take us over, not to make nicey-nicey. They're not going to need it. They're more advanced than us. They're going to wipe us out.
Well, just like you said, in my opinion, they don't need to do that. And you're absolutely right. Everything has been a conquest from what we've witnessed here on our planet. But however, like the one that we think might be 1,480 light years away, they obviously don't need whatever we have. That's saying if it is an alien structure,
right.
We don't know.
Right. All right.
But anyway, I just wanted to do that. I know we're coming to the end of the show. Thank you, Art Roswells, and I'm receiving you very warmly, even though, like I said, I'm an atheist.
Thank you very much
for the show, and I do respect you.
All right.
God bless you.
Yep, indeed. Next caller, whoever you are, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, hello.
I wanted to say that very interesting show you're having tonight.
It is, actually, yes.
I wanted to ask him one question. It's very obvious. I think he's hit right on it when he was talking about the UFOs and stuff. Somebody said it this way. Living symbols. I guess it basically comes down to is I myself, I'm in like a 12-step program. I try going to church as much as I possibly can. But I realized halfway going through the 12-step program, I couldn't even say the name Jesus. I knew at that point that there was definitely something starting to, I mean, I was spiritually starting to have some kind of growth and realize that a lot more peace came back in my life. I think everybody deals with demonic
influence
at the time.
I think so. We're so short on time here. Ralph, do you have anything to comment?
No. I think I'm all talked out, Art, unless you have something to ask me.
No, I've got tons of calls. I mean, so many. You're on the air with Ralph Sarchi. Hi.
Hi. Midnight Rider Joe here for Art and Ralph.
Yes.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm wondering if all the demons that you've encountered have been, are they Catholic demons, or are all demons responsive to your Catholicism?
Catholic demons, Ralph.
Demonic spirits respond to the name of Jesus Christ, and they respond to the Blessed Mother, and they respond to the saints, and they respond to the sacramentals that we utilize. So Well, you know, Protestants have authority over the devil also in Jesus' name. As long as they have a relationship with Jesus and they're treating their neighbor kindly, those are the two mm-hmm. things that God asks, Jesus asks us to do, is to love God and love one another. If you do that, you pretty much got it, you know, down pat.
Okay.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Rob.
You're very welcome. Here's somebody from Beverly Hills, California, trying to squeeze through the eye of a needle and my phone line. Hi. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Oh, hi. Yes, I have someone here, the ghost of Ronald Reagan, who'd like to ask a question.
The ghost of Ronald Reagan.
Well, this is the ghost of Ronald Reagan. And as a matter of fact, I was listening, and earlier you said this woman began speaking a foreign language she didn't understand. I concluded from this information that if Hillary Clinton should suddenly begin to speak the truth, we'd know she's possessed, since honesty's a language that is completely foreign to her.
You know, God bless you for ending the show on a really, really high note like that. Ralph,
I absolutely love it.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure having you on, buddy.
Thank you very much.
We'll do it again one time.
I'd love that. Thank you, Art. You have a good night.
Good night,
God
my
bless
friend.
Everybody.
Good night. I'm going to end this with a true puzzle myself. I'm not kidding you. I had two priests on. They were torn up one side and down another. And they had essentially the same views as Ralph Sarchi and Father Malachi Martin. So I'm going to go home and scratch my head for a while on this. From the high desert to all 25 time zones out there, good night.
Midnight in the desert.